Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we just heard, Isaiah 40 verses 1 to 3 is our text for today's sermon. And I'll read it again using a modern translation. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The first piece from Messiah, which we will hear this Lent, is also the start of a section of Isaiah's prophecy addressed specifically to the Jewish exiles in Babylon. As you may remember from your Bible studies, around 600 years before the birth of Christ, the kingdom of Judah rebelled, first against God and then against the superpower of the time, Babylon. As a result, many of God's people were captured and taken into exile, and Jerusalem was destroyed in 587 BC. But while God disciplined his people by exiling them from the promised land, he did not abandon them. He gave Isaiah this wonderful prophecy to encourage his people. "Comfort, comfort my people. Do not despair, because your warfare is ended, your iniquity is pardoned. In place of your sins you will receive, mercifully, undeservedly, a double portion of grace and forgiveness. So prepare, prepare the way of the Lord." And so it happened that after 70 years in exile, a way was prepared in the Middle Eastern wilderness, and the Lord led his people from Babylon back home to Jerusalem. Like most prophecies, however, these verses don't just apply to the ancient Jews. They work in different ways in different time periods. The call to prepare the way of the Lord was not just directed at the exiles in Babylon, but it was also directed to the Jews of Jesus' time and even to us here today. In this time of Lent 2023, we also are called to prepare the way of the Lord. So how do we do that here in our own season of preparation? Well, we get a hint from the New Testament's use of Isaiah's prophecy. For example, in Luke chapter 3, we read, "During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John's mission to help people prepare for the Lord's coming in Jesus was to baptize them for repentance of sins. Before we discuss this further, it's important to note that John's baptism was different from the Christian baptism which we are used to. John's baptism was an outward washing of the body with water to show an inner change of the heart, reflecting on the outside a person's repentance for their sins on the inside. Christian baptism, on the other hand, actually brings about what John's hearers were hoping for. Christian baptism enacts the forgiveness of sins, the reception of God's Holy Spirit, and our inclusion into God's family. So in many ways, we Christians have already been prepared for the coming of the Lord. He has already made a straight path through the wilderness of our hearts by which he comes to us again today, particularly in his word and the Lord's Supper. The problem is, though, that after baptism, we don't remain in a state of preparation, do we? expanding on Isaiah's imagery, the wilderness of sin continually encroaches on God's path in our hearts. Thorn bushes of the cares, riches and pleasures of this life continually threaten to narrow the path. And our faith and faithfulness shift like sand, sometimes covering the path altogether. How then can the Lord continue to come to us when we are so fickle and so weak? How do we draw comfort from God's promises when we daily recognize our unworthiness? Well, the good news is that we don't need to be baptized again. God's gift to us in baptism was once forever, and he won't take that gift away from us. The way is always open for us to repent and ask God to come to us again, asking him to clear away the thorn bushes and dig away the sand. We can be sure of this because of the words written by the prophet Joel, which we heard earlier in the service. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. So that's what we will be doing today in the so-called imposition of ashes. We will repent of our failings and ask God to return to us with his word of forgiveness. The imposition of ashes is a rite which draws on biblical practices to remind us of our place before God. By receiving a mark of ash and oil on our foreheads, we recognize that we are dust and ashes. We were made from the dust and we will return to it at death. We recognize that in and of ourselves, we're worthless. But the ash in the shape of a cross also reminds us that we are valuable dust, valuable to God. He loves us so much that he sent his only Son, Jesus the Messiah, to save us from our worthless condition by dying for us on the cross. Now, because of what Jesus has done, we are actually precious dust. We're more precious than gold or silver. And so in the imposition of ashes, we recognize our sinfulness and our need for God's help. Repentance itself doesn't make us clean or worthy, but it allows God to come into our lives again and clean us up again and make us worthy in his sight again. As the next piece we will hear from Messiah explains, and we'll hear this during the imposition of ashes, God promises to refine his people. Malachi the prophet says in his third chapter, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." In baptism and every time we return to our baptism in repentance and forgiveness, God takes the precious material he has made, even though it's now riddled with the impurity of sin, and he burns out that impurity. He separates the dross from the precious metal and restores our beauty and our purity again. Before I finish, there's one further point that we need to note to complete our understanding of repentance. Many people recognize their need for repentance and they are genuinely sorry for their sins. But sadly, even after confessing and receiving forgiveness, they still struggle with guilt. They make a work out of repentance and feel that they must continue to confess and to confess, but then they never find peace, similar to how our society deals, or more accurately, fails to deal with the sins of our colonial past. What such people lack is not contrition, there's plenty of that, but they lack faith. They fail to believe that God's promise that he has forgiven them. They fail to see repentance and forgiveness as a gift of God, worked by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that's why Jesus himself, after John the Baptist was put into prison, started his ministry with this pronouncement: "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Believe in the good news of the gifts God wants to give you, including forgiveness. That's why our focus here in church on repentance is not, as some misunderstand it, to make people feel guilty. People are good enough at doing that themselves. But our focus is to free people from their guilt by leading them to God's gift of forgiveness. Repentance, as I mentioned earlier, is preparing the way of the Lord. It is an invitation to God to come again, to come anew into our messed up lives and bring with him his forgiveness, his peace, and freedom from sin. And when we trust God's word that that is true, we are freed from the sins of the past. They no longer have hold over us because God has, through the work of Messiah Jesus, taken all our guilt away. And so, when you receive the imposition of ashes shortly, please hear the words spoken by God to you through your pastor. Repent and believe in the gospel. As you progress through Lent this year, with or without the music of Messiah to inspire you, I invite you to hold on to the Old Testament images which we've just explored. I encourage you to use the coming weeks to prepare the way of the Lord in your own life, to recognize where there are areas of your life which are not in accordance with God's goodwill for you. But please, whatever you do, don't despair over your failings or think that you can somehow fix yourself up. Rather, simply confess your sins to God and invite him into your life to deal with them. Allow him to refine you and he will make you pure. Trust that God will prepare a fitting way for himself, ending the warfare between you and him and pardoning your iniquity so that you may have peace and live in comfort in his presence, just as we heard sung before. Not just now in this season of Lent, but forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.